Okay, good afternoon, good evening. The topic of the shiur, the Shnayim Mikra. The obligation that every week or maybe every year, every week to read the whole parsha twice, learn the whole parsha twice with the Mikra, the Pesukim, the verses, and then to review it a third time with the Targum explanation. The reason why I chose to speak about Shnayim Mikra Vechad Targum to review the parsha this week is this is the time of year when maybe people who in the past have not been successful or have not tried say now is the time, because now is the beginning of a new cycle, and always when there is a hitchatshus or something new, people always try again to somehow accomplish. And even if someone told me last week, I was talking to Erev Shabbos about doing Shnayim Mikra, and he said to me, "Gracious, forget it, for follow, I'm not going to do it." But he says, "I'll start with Noah. This is the time of year people start." Now, people do consider the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra to be very difficult. I was talking to a Ben Yeshiva who takes learning very seriously, and he said to me, "If I could change one halacha in the Torah, it would be doing Shnayim Mikra." And as a matter of fact, if you look at some of the Svarim, they seem to question why is it so many people are not matzah do Shnayim Mikra. And we'll see in the shir, my father, he says, there were Gaonim and Gedolim who didn't do Shnayim Mikra, and he tried to explain their shita, even though my father remembered very clearly every Friday night. We'd sit down after the meal and go through the whole parsha, Shnayim Mikra, twice with the Targum Unklus. But that being said, taking upon ourselves to learn every week a certain amount, or whether it's every day, whether we're speaking about the Chumash, or speaking in Tanakh, Halacha, Gemara, can be a little daunting. So I want to start first with a little Divrei Chizuk, a little word of encouragement, which really has nothing to do with the Shir, but just to keep it in mind. You know, as we grow older, we change. So I grew up in Chicago. I could tell you that until I was 16 years old, I was a diehard Cup fan.
Okay?
16, okay? And then, the truth is, I remember speaking about, and I knew the statistics, I knew everything that was going on, and one of the best things of being a Cup fan was it never disturbed my Chodesh El. Because by the time Chodesh El came around, they were never in contention in the 70s. And, so much a little bit in the 80s, and then once I moved out of Chicago, already in the mid-80s, that was it, I was done. That being said, there's something about being a sports fan when you're younger. Somehow or another, it comes back to haunt you. And I have to tell you, I'm not sure if I'm embarrassed to say this, I went to bed somewhat early last night, 11:30, and I set my alarm for 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay? A quarter to four, I checked my phone. I got two messages from one daughter living in Eretz Yisrael, one son living in America. Is Abba up yet? I'm not exactly sure why I did this. I got out of bed and I went to actually watch the game. Two of my boys are already up watching the game. And I don't know if anyone saw the game, heard about the game. If you haven't watched a baseball game in 30 years, it was a great game to watch. Okay, it was like 5-1, 5-3, 6-3, 6-6. I do want to tell you though that as they were beginning the 10th inning, I had to go to shul. I actually missed the end of the game. I had to go to shul. But
you needed a 7 o'clock minute.
Yeah, I could have gone, but this is my regular
watcher.
This is my regular minute. But however, why am I mentioning this? So as we all know, and I know, as I know, that people in Chicago, not myself, because I'm a Litvak, but they always thought the reason why the Cubs could not win was because of the curse of the Billy Goat. Now, for those who don't know what the curse of the Billy Goat is, so in 1945, a certain person, I'll call him Meshuggah, tried to come into Wrigley Field with a goat. And they threw him out of Wrigley Field, and therefore he went ahead and he cursed the Chicago Cubs that they would never win. They would never win. So I never paid any attention to the curse of the Billy Goat. And the fact of the matter is, there were some crazy things that happened over the years. I'm not going to get into it right now. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if anyone saw, there was a very cute picture that came across. Someone sent me a picture of a Kohen dressed as a Kohen throwing the Sorel Lazuzel over the cliff with a cup hat, wearing a cup hat. That's the end of the goat. However, sometimes we think that we can't accomplish something. And usually the only reason why we can't accomplish something is because we don't think we can do it. In last week's parsha, when Cain and Hevel brought korbanos, so and Hevel's korban was accepted, and not Cain. Cain was very upset. Now Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Cain, "Why are you upset? In take his days, if you're good." What was HaKadosh Baruch really telling Cain? And the Malbim points out that Cain, who was looking at the other animals, thought that just like the animals follow, you know, their, what's innate, they don't have a ratzon, they have certain tendencies. He thought he was the same way, and therefore he felt he wasn't able to choose. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, a human being is different in tatives to ace. That if you really want to accomplish something, you want to be good, then you'll be good. And not the Pesach Chatzos Rove, not, you're basically stepping on the edge of sin. And that was the message for all of us, that if we want to accomplish something, we can accomplish. And I'm not going to go ahead and, you know, make a prophecy and say if the team wants to win, they can win. But no one should ever say we're being held back by a curse or other reasons. Really, it's up to us that we can do it. And the same thing applies if someone wants to accomplish something in learning which takes a daily commitment or a weekly commitment. He has to realize that it's all in his hands. So we speak about Shnai and Mikra. Before you begin, everyone has to realize, whether it's Shnai or anything else, they are able to accomplish as long as they know that they can accomplish and they can succeed. Okay, so now we'll start this year. The Gemara says, Maseches Brachos, Daf Ches Amud Aleph, discussing Shnai Mikra. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Amar Rav Yami, La'olam Yashlev Adam Parshos in Metzibor, a person should always. And the Gemara adds in the word always, La'olam. Or it could have just said, Yashlev Adam. Why did the Gemara add the word La'olam in? What was the point of love? Always, no matter what, no matter when, no matter where, no matter how old you are, how young you are, no matter what you know, olam. Shnayim Rabatargam, Vafilu Ataras Vedivam. And even Atarot Vedivam. What does Atarot Vedivam mean? So the Machokas Rashi and Tosmas. So Rashi says that the words Ataras Vedivam have no Targum, and therefore, since it has no Targum, so you might think, okay, there's no explanation for it. It's just names, so therefore, I can get away with reading it just twice. He says, no. In that situation, you have to read it three times. And Tosfos says, what is why Atarot Vedivam? He says, because, ask on Rashi, because it has no Targum? There are so many psukim, so many verses the Torah could have used, as the Gemara could use it as an example, they have no Targum. They have no Targum is an Aramaic explanation. They have no Aramaic explanation. The names of Ruvain, Shimon, other names. But why Atarot Vedivam? Atarot Vedivam, because they might not have Targum Unkelis. They might not be something which was translated and explained by Unkelis Hager, who lived in the time of the Tanoim, which is usually the accepted Targum that we use. And let's say, for example, in the old times when they would go ahead and during the time when they read the Torah, they would actually recite the Targum who was similar to Targum Unkelis that they would do. They would use Targum Unkelis. But there is another Targum, a Targum Yerushalmi. And therefore, since there is a Targum Yerushalmi, Mar is telling us that on those Tukim, you're supposed to use Targum Yerushalmi. That's Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos.
What about Targum
Yonatan? Targum Yonatan would be the same. I actually heard from my father, that I once asked him, the person has to learn Rashi every year. And he said that as long as you learn a Perush that goes on almost every Pasuk, and it incorporates the words of Chazal, then it would be okay. That's what he explained. It would be okay. Yeah.
But how do they differ? And they do.
Okay, so we have a concept that there's something, the Shivim Panim Torah, and sometimes there's 70 ways to look at a pasuk, different explanations, and we say, Elu ve'elu divel kim chayim, everything is true, the different perspectives that are true. Okay, so now, so the question is, why do we have to do Shnayim Mikra v'Targum? Why is it important? So here, you have Machlokes Rishonim. Source number 3 mentions the Shita of the Ravon. And the Ravon Shita is very important, even though I would say, Lamasa, in terms of what we should do, we should not follow the Ravon, but people did. Ravon says, Shnayim Mikra v'Targum is not for everybody. Shnayim Mikra v'Targum is for somebody who does not live in a place where he'll hear Kriyas HaTorah every week. Especially in the olden days, people lived out on farms, they would live in villages where there wasn't a minyan, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch speaks that a person has to make sure he goes to hear a minyan on Shabbat Zachar. So a Jew like that, since he is not hearing the Kriya every week, it's important that he reviews the Parsha twice with the Tzukin and once with the Targum in order to go ahead and to keep up with the Tzibur that unfortunately he's not a part of. That's the reason for Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. But it's only for somebody, the Ravam says, who is not with a Tzibur, but someone who's with a Tzibur hears Kriyat HaTorah every single week, has to make sure that someone's with a Tzibur, he hears Kriyat HaTorah, doesn't have to do Shnayim Mikra. But if you're not with a Tzibur, or if one week you miss, then you have to read Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. We don't pass in this way. However, my father pointed out that all those Gedolim and Gaonim that did not do Shnayim Mikra must have held like the Shoyt Shita, the Ravon. And the Ravon also points out, so where does Shnayim Mikra come from? He says, very interesting. He says, you know that we have an Aliyah, and maybe this started at some point, even in the time of Chazal, in certain communities. So you have the Bal Koreh, the one who reads, and you have the one who gets the Aliyah. And then we know in the time of Chazal also, there was somebody who read the Targum. So therefore, for the person who's not in Shul, he's not in the Beit Knesset, so in order to replace those people, the two people who are reading the Aliyah, the Bal Koreh, the one who reads, and the one who gets the Aliyah, and the person who reads the Targum, we do Shnayim Mikra, the Echad, we do Shnayim Mikra, the Targum. So the Gos Maimon has mentioned this, and he actually has a question, and he doesn't accept it. Now, so the Gemara, if we go back to source number one, promises that someone who reads Shnayim Mikra is a segula of marichun lo yomo v'shnosa, long life. Someone learns the parasha every week with the Hebrew and then with the Aramaic explanation. It's promised by the Gemara, by the Talmud, long days and long life. All right, and it says not only doesn't say just that you're given long life, but the reason to read the Torah twice and once with Arab explanation, Shnayim Mikra v'Targum, is because with this you're promised long life. And I would like to understand that why is this mitzvah which grants long life? Now, what that means, how it works out, I don't know, but the Gemara certainly says that a person will be granted long life. So the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says that Rabbi Bar Abaye, so I guess he didn't want to spend every week learning the parsha, every single week. He didn't want to spend every week learning the parsha. So what did he do? He tried to find, you know, one day a year, and he would just focus the whole day on learning the Torah. What would that day be? Yom Kippur. The day before Yom Kippur. Why? Because the day before Yom Kippur, there are no classes going on, no shiurim. It's really a time when you can spend the day learning. So, by yourself. But then he heard that Erev Yom Kippur is a day to eat. He wasn't given that time. And then, he was also told that it's important when you do Shnayim Mikra, you have to do it with the congregation. Which means that, let's say, for example, this week is the second Parsha, Parshas Noach. I can learn Parshas Noach this week. But let's say I want to get a head start and learn Lech Lecha V'Yerach HaYisara. I'm not allowed to do that. I have to do it with the Tzibur itself. Now, and then the Gemara Talmud goes on. The Gemara says like this. The Yeshua ben Levi said to his sons, he says, I want to tell you three important things. Number one, it's very important, you take into mind, you have to make sure every week you learn the portion of that week twice and do the Aramaic explanation once. That's one idea. Then the second idea, he said, which is a technical thing, that when you go ahead and you slaughter a bird, make sure in order to get all the blood out that you cut open the veins, the main veins, make sure you get all the blood out. That was the second idea. And the third idea he points out, he says, is that if you see an older person who, because they had a stroke or some sort of neurological disease, and he forgot a lot of what he learned, be very careful. Still give him honor. Still give him kavod. Okay? Why? Because just like when Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, the two luchot HaBrit, he didn't throw them out. He put them in the Aron HaKodesh. So even something broken, you have to give respect to. So at the end of the shir, I'd like to maybe, in a certain sense, connect all these three halachot, learning the portion, Shnai Mikra Vepatargum. The second halacha is about making sure you get rid of all the blood, even going beyond what the halacha requires, the law requires. And number three, the connection to being very careful, the honor to an older person. Okay, so now, we mentioned the reason that Ravon, why you have to review the parsha. The Trumas Hadeshin, in source number four, so he himself mentions another reason. And he was very bothered, why is it that people are so machmir, they're so careful in his day to reach Shnayim Mikra V'Targum when it comes to Shabbat? When it comes to the holidays, no one reviews the portion that we're going to read on the holiday. So Rosh Hashanah just passed, the New Year, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and you don't see people who, before they get to the Beit Knesset, or that day, are reviewing the portion of that day. You read Rosh Hashanah, you read Yom Kippur, you read on Sukkot. So, first of all, he wants to suggest that maybe you should, because maybe the reason why you go ahead and you have to review the portion is so in case you get an aliyah, right? You'll know what you're reading. So he says, then he goes and he says, but it could be, the reason is that, and he says, the reason is, and maybe, the reason is because since the seaboard is reading the whole Torah, we have an obligation to read the Torah by ourselves also. And this is a view which is echoed by the Sefer HaChinuch, and I would like to actually read the Sefer HaChinuch in source number five. The Sefer HaChinuch, which is a book of, speaks about all the commandments. So he points out, V'achat min ha-mitzvot, v'hi'ikar v'yesod, shekul neshanos olav. So one of the mitzvos, and this is something which everything depends on, is the mitzvah limud ha-Torah. Ki v'limud yada ha-adam ha-mitzvos v'yekayim osam. Because when you learn Torah, so then you'll fulfill the mitzvos, and then you'll learn the mitzvos, you'll l'kayim them. If a person does not learn Torah, does not learn the mitzvos, how can you fulfill the mitzvos? V'alkein kabul anu chachamim z'chonu levracha, and therefore the chachamim, the rabbis, made an obligation that we have to go ahead and read every Shabbat, to read a portion in the Beit Knesset, in the shul, in the synagogue, in the Torah, the place where people gather together. Why? V'orer leiv ha'odn al divrei ha'Torah mitzvot v'chol shavua v'shavua ach shivru kol ha'sefer. So the rabbis made a law that every week in the Beit Knesset we have to go ahead and we have to recite a portion of the Torah, in order that we'll have an opportunity to go through the whole Torah. How long should it take? There was a custom which we have today of finishing in a year. There was a custom of finishing in 3 years. But there has to, rabbis made an obligation that there has to be a continuous reading from week to week to week in order that at some point we can finish the whole Torah. Why? Because if we don't learn the whole Torah, we won't know what to do. And they will fimash shamanu. Rov Yisrael Noagim Likroso Kol Sharachas, and he says today the majority of Jews complete the whole Torah in 1 year. There were customs of reading in 3 years. And then he goes down. And he says, and along with that obligation, there was an obligation from the Chachamim, that the rabbis, that we have to learn, everyone individually in this house, every week, whatever they read in that place. So if you live in a place where they finish the Torah every 3 years, you have to, every week, you have to learn what they recite in the Beit Knesset. And if you live in a place where they finish every year, you have to learn on your own the Torah every single year. Why? So in other words, he says, because if you recite it on your own, then when you read it in the Beit Knesset, you'll understand it more. And based on that, a person should definitely try, even though it's not always possible, to try to finish it by the time Shabbat morning comes around, so you'll understand the Torah as they're reading it in the Beit Knesset. So, according to the Sefer Chinuch, the reason for Shnayim Mikra, keep in mind, is in order to enable us to learn the whole Torah. And if we're learning about Shnayim Mikra, and we're mekayim the mitzvah of Shnayim Mikra, it's important to understand the point of Shnayim Mikra is to really learn the whole Torah. Okay, now, obviously, it's very difficult to learn the whole Torah. It's very difficult. Who can learn the whole Torah? There's so many secrets. There's so many things that are hidden. But a person has to strive to try to learn the whole Torah. At the very least, Torah Shebichtav, we should go ahead and we should try. So now, why is that? So now let's try to understand. So is that so important? Does that mean that we are going to head, and because we do that, we're going to be promised arichas yamim, long life? The answer is, I think if a person respects every letter, every nuance, every verse, every law in the Torah, that in itself brings long life. And why should I say that? Because we'll see a Gemara, the Talmud says, that when a person goes ahead and he doesn't respect, and for whatever reason he ignores a certain part of the Torah. Let's say, for example, he says, you know, this pasuk, it doesn't make any sense. And he moves on. Or he says, this Gemara, this law, it's not applicable, there's nothing to learn from it. So we'll see that that in itself can actually shorten a person's life. What that means, I don't know, but that's what the Gemara points out. The Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, in source number 11, Doxotic Test on the Base, the Gemara talks about Menashe ben Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu was one of the kings of the Jews, was a very big tzaddik, very righteous. He did a lot for the Jewish people, and not only a lot for Jewish people, he encouraged a lot of learning that people in all of Israel understood and knew even the hardest parts of the Torah. His son Menashe is a different story. And his son Menashe would sometimes give a shir, and sometimes he would make fun of some of the verses in the Torah. So for example, to give an example, Gemara mentions a few, but one example, the pasuk tells us that Reuven, the son of Levi, went to he found mandrakes in the field, and he brought it home, and Rachel wanted some of the mandrakes, and Leah didn't want Rachel to take it, and Menashe said, this is ridiculous. Why does the Torah speak about this? It's ridiculous. Why does the Torah speak about this? And the fact is, if you want to see, there are many very, very nice ideas. Leo Kitov actually has a very beautiful idea that what's the idea of the Dudaim? But he says, but Menashe ignored it. According to, just very quickly, he says, the story seems so petty. He brings home mandrakes and there's a fight between Rachel Leah. Why is the Torah telling us? And this is what he did. If he saw any parish in the Torah that he felt did not make sense, he wouldn't try to understand it. He would just denigrate it. It doesn't make any sense. That's what the Gemara says. The fact is that Leo Kito, and I'm sure there are also some very deep ideas, so he points out, Leo Kito wrote the Sefer Toda'ah, he points out in the Sefer on Chumash, he says, what's the idea? The idea is, very quickly, says that Reuven, you know, Rachel, Leah, our matriarchs, they raised all the children together. Even though Rachel, Leah had her children, Rachel and her children, Rachel still had a hand. They were living together. And, you know, we're told that when Reuven came and he brought the Dudaim, the mandrakes, so Leah got concerned that maybe he stole the mandrakes and took them to a certain field. And Leah, so Reuven said to Leah, no, he said, I took them to the field to attack her. Leah says, wow, look at that. I'm so proud. I have such nachas. I'm so proud of my son who is a young child who is so concerned about stealing one of the evil's fields. So Rachel, who also had somewhat of a hand, because inspiration came from her also wanted to have nachas, joy. And Leah said, you know, it's enough you took my husband. You also want to go ahead and you want to have, you want to take away the nachas. You want to claim credit for how my children are growing up. And at that point, Rachel realized that the most important thing to Leah was to have Yaakov for herself, or have more of Yaakov. And for Rachel, the most important thing was to have children. And that's why she took nachas from what Reuven did, because she wanted to have children, so she wanted to have some nachas. And because of that, Rachel was able to have two children. But not only that, Rachel was buried in a place where all the Jews would come daven to her, and yet Leah was buried next to Yaakov Avinu. So very quickly, you see a very deep idea. But what happened, Menashe? He would go ahead and he would say, what's the point of this pasuk? It's ridiculous. He says, a bat's call, a voice from heaven came out. He says, this is what you do? So he says, the Torah says, that you know you're not going to realize. You're going to start denigrating more and more and more of the Torah. And the punishment for this, according to the Gemara, is a person like this is chayav karis, which we know is sometimes a life is shortened. So when a person denigrates or recognizes that, or feels that, or expresses that there's something in the Torah which does not make any sense, Chazal tell us that that could shorten a person's life. And therefore, when a person is machshav, which means he points out that every word of Torah is important, yes, that brings long life and that brings years, and that's why the Gemara says in Masechet Brachot that a person should learn Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Because why? Because when a person learns the whole Torah, Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum, or at least he tries, and maybe something happens that he can't, but he tries. What he's trying to say is that every word in the Torah is important. And by the way, a person who has a goal somehow to finish Shas, to finish Navi, to finish Halacha, whatever it is, he wants to finish certain things, and he's saying, he's saying is every single word is important, and that's what gives Arichas Shama V'Shama. The title of the shiur was to replace the crowns of the Torah, because when a person learns Shnayim Mikra, so he's returning, because he's showing that every single word of the Torah is important. As a matter of fact, so we mentioned before the argument between Rashi and Tosfot. That when the Gemara says that a person, you know, has to do Shnayim Rezat Targum, even a Teret B'Divon, why? What's a Teret, what's so special Teret B'Divon? So Rashi says a Teret B'Divon has no Targum. So you still have to read it in the Hebrew three times. Tosfot says, no. He says, because a Teret B'Divon of a different Targum. So it's telling us that when it comes to words that don't have the regular Aramaic explanation in Targum Umgulis, you have to read something else. So the Taz in source number 6 asks the question that Tosfos question, Shayla, is a very strong question. In other words, according to Rashi, that the point is that it's telling us even though a Teret B'Divon doesn't have a Targum Umgulis, you have to read it three times in the Pesukim. Why didn't the Gemara just give us an example of Reuven Shimon? Why a Teres V'Dibon? Choose a pasuk that doesn't have any Aramaic explanation. Targum Dunklis, Targum Yerushalmi. So the Taz says the reason is like this: that Rashi is saying that, you know, when it comes to Reuven and Shimon, there a person can clearly understand that there's a reason to read it three times. Why? Because Reuben and Shimon were names that were given by Jews, and obviously there was some deep meaning in there. So even though there's no Targum Unkelus on Reuben and Shimon, when you hear the word Reuben and Shimon, you might try to think and say, what does the word Reuben mean? What does the word Shimon mean? It's obvious to a person that you have to read those psukim. Because there's something very deep, there's something going on, there's something you can understand, like any Jewish name. However, Ataret V'Divon were names of cities in the land of Israel. And it could be that those names were given by pagans. So you might think, why should I repeat those names? There's no secrets, there's no lessons. So there's no Targum. Read it twice. You know, maybe don't read it at all. There's nothing to learn. He says, no. So read it three times. Why? Because every word in the Torah, even something which is given through a pagan name, has a certain idea. And we have to think, and maybe somehow something will, you know, we'll understand. There are a number of words in the Torah. For example, word when it comes to the Totafos, the Tzil. So we're told Totafos means you have four small boxes in your shelrosh. How come? Because the word tat means two in one. Tat in one language means two. And fat in another, in African, means two. So because of that, totafos means four. And your tefillin shalrosh, the tefillin on top of your head, has to have four compartments. So the Shla asks the question. He says, what is a word from two different languages doing in the Torah? He explains, this was Parsha. That we know that until the time of the Migdal Babel, till the time of dispersion, till the Tower of Babel, the people spoke one language, and then God scattered them with different languages. But what was the first language? Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew, the Holy Tongue. So therefore, all the languages were based on Lashon HaKodesh. And for that reason, some of the words that we have were lost, and they can be found in other languages. So therefore, even though Tat is a meaning still one language, it's also part of Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue. And for the same reason, every single word is important. Even Akar Kedivon, a name which was given by pagans to the cities and the land of Israel, are important. And we can't ignore any word. Next idea, even read it three times, because you can never know what the meaning is. Now, the Taz in source number 7, so a person with a chila should try. The best thing is to learn the Chumash with Umkhalis and with Rashi. Why? So, Taz says that number one, because the Umkhalis, Aramaic explanation, which we'll speak about in a minute, was given at Har Sinai. Why was it given at Har Sinai? We'll come to that. And Rashi, because it explains the psukim, the verses, much more. And for that reason, a person should go ahead and should try to do both. What's the idea? In other words, every single nuance is important. Umkhalis is important. Why is it important? The Aramaic? Because that's what it was said at Sinai. At Har Sinai. So it's important. And Rashi is important because Rashi explains more. Every single idea, every dictuk is very important. So he says now, the Taz mentions at the end that, and I mentioned before, that let's say, for example, someone wants to read the Targum explanation in English. Let's say in the Taz doesn't speak about English. Let's read it in English. So the Taz mentions that you should not read it in English unless you don't understand. He's talking about Yiddish. You should read it in Hebrew explanation. But again, if someone does not understand Hebrew explanation, of course he'll do it in English. As long as my father pointed out, it incorporates the words of Chazal of the rabbis. Now, the Prima Gaudin, source number 8, asks why twice? Why twice do you do it? If you read the Pesukim, the verses twice, and why once with the Targum Aramaic explanation? He says, because the Jewish people were told the Torah twice. Once at Har Sinai, and then at Ol HaMoed. And then in Sefer Devarim, the last book of the 5 books of Moses, the Torah, they were explained. So therefore, we go ahead and we read it twice to symbolize, to remember the 2 times the Torah was told over, and once to symbolize when Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and reviewed the Torah and explained it very well. Again, what's the idea? The idea is that we have to try to understand that everything was given over. Every word Moshe gave, whether it was the first time, whether it was the second time, whether it was in Sefer Devarim, when he went ahead and he was speaking about, when it was in Sefer Devarim, when he was going ahead and he was explaining it. Every single word is important, and that is Shnayim Mikra, that is Shnayim Mikra of Targum. Now, just to digress, so we saw before, the Taz says, why is the Aramaic explanation of Umkhalis important? Because that's the way it was given over at Har Sinai. What does that mean? How do we know it was given over at Har Sinai? So the Gemara Maseches Megillah, source number 9, points out that Targum Shel Torah, the Aramaic explanation, was written down by Umkhalis. Who was Umkhalis? Umkhalis was a nephew of one of the Roman emperors. He converted to Judaism, and he wrote the Targum Umkhalis. So the Gemara asks, he wrote the Targum Umkhalis? The Targum Umkhalis, the explanation of Umkhalis in Aramaic, was given over to Har Sinai. And the Gemara says, because it says, Vayikru b'sefer l'kin, Torah l'kin, mefurash, shum sefer l'mikra. So he says, what's mefurash? Zeh Targum, it was given over. So Gemara points out, that what does it mean? Was Targum was set over? It says, so in other words, they heard the Targum, they forgot it, and he reminded them the Targum in Aramaic. So why was the Torah given over in Aramaic? So if you look at source number 10, the Marsha, it's fascinating. He says, the Ramah says, the Targum, he says, is Lashon Aram, this is Aramaic. And the Torah was definitely sent over in Lashon HaKodesh, in Hebrew. How could you not say over the Torah in Lashon HaKodesh Hebrew, which was the Lashon of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? He says, but when they explained it at Sinai, it was explained the Targum. Why? Because the Jews knew Targum, they knew Aramaic. How did the Jews know Aramaic? They knew Aramaic because that's what they spoke in Lavan's house. In Lavan's house they knew Aramaic, so therefore the Shvatim, the sons of Yaakov, heard Aramaic, and therefore that became, in a certain sense, part of their mother tongue. And for that reason, at Har Sinai, when the Torah was told over, it was told over Lashon HaKodesh, but then explanation was given in Aramaic and Aramaic. And for that reason, when the Jewish people forgot the Aramaic, because during the time of the first temple, they lived in Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, they spoke only Lashon HaKodesh, only Arit. Says, later on, the Marsha says, Unkelus went ahead, and he went ahead and they reminded, in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, they forgot it. And then Unkelus went ahead and reminded them of the Aramaic. But why? If the whole reason for Aramaic was because that's what they learned in Lavan's house, why was it necessary to teach the Jews in Aramaic? They knew the explanation already in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. So why do they have to remember the Aramaic? And the reason is very simple. Because since that which was given at Har Sinai, every word is important. I just want to mention. So, the fact is that there are only two languages, you have to stop and talk about this, that are Lashon HaKodesh. There's Lashon HaKodesh, that we know the Torah is written in, and Aramaic. There are other languages that might be beautiful languages, that maybe we taught Torah for hundreds of years, and maybe it reminds you of the Masorah. But the fact is that, Yiddish might have some aspect of Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not Lashon HaKodesh. Aramaic Lashon HaKodesh was given over to Har Sinai. That's the reason why it's Lashon HaKodesh. But that, and Ibn Ezra points out that Aramaic and Lashon HaKodesh are sister languages. But those are Lashon HaKodesh. Even though the Jews forgot the Aramaic, Unkelus decided to go ahead and to remind them. Why? Because since that play was given in Har Sinai, even Aramaic, just hearing the Parish in Lashon HaKodesh was enough. You have to hear the words given in Har Sinai. Why? Because everything that was given over in Har Sinai was very, very important. And now, as a matter of fact, as I pointed out, and this is why we're given for learning Shemot and Targum, we're promised Arichas Yom V'Shamim. Why? Because when a person goes ahead and he learns the whole Torah, he's saying every word of Torah is important. I didn't mention before, but this idea, just the contrast of how terrible it is to forget a part of Torah, is mentioned in Pirkei Avot, Mishnayot Avot, source number 14. Rabbi Dostoy b'Rabbi Yana and Shur Meir Omer, Kol HaShokheyach Dover Echad Mishnaso. Anyone who forgets one part of his learning, Ma'alav HaKosuv Ki'ilu Mishchaya V'Nafsho. So the Pasuk considers it as he's responsible for his own life. Shenemar, as the Torah Pasuk says, Rat Hishomu L'cho Shmonach Shchama'od, should be very careful for your own life, Ten Tishkach Es HaDivar Meshro L'Enecha, that you shouldn't forget anything that your eyes saw, that you have to remember every word of Torah. Yachol Afilu Tachlav Mishnasto, let's say you didn't try to forget Torah. You worked hard to remember, but you don't have the best memory. In that situation, you're not obligated for your life, because you're only obligated if you do something to cause it to be removed. Which maybe is you don't think it's important. Why have to review that for? That's not so important. It's very important to realize how chashuv, how priceless every word of Torah is. And when a person forgets that, that's when he's responsible for his life. And he says, the Tosfos Yomtov points out, in the second half of source number 14, when are you obligated? It's because of atzlus, laziness. You don't want to spend time. Why? Because it's not so important. And then he goes on and talks about someone's trying to make a living. But let's say, if you don't think it's important, if you think it's important, that's great. If you don't think it's important, that's what a person would be responsible for his own life. Now, before I conclude the shir, one point. There's a lady A man, it's clear, has to learn the parsha twice and once in the Targum. Is a lady chayav to learn the parsha shnayim midrash the Targum? So, lemaisa, someone asked me halacha p'sak halacha. Answer is no. They want to do it. It's a great idea. However, if you look at source number 16, the Magen Avraham says, he says like this, that a lady is obligated to hear the Kriyas HaTorah. Okay? Not, and by the way, so he saw the Sefer Achinuch points out the obligations of Tzibur to hear the Kriya, the whole Torah, to learn the whole Torah. The Magen Avraham says that if a lady can make it to Shul, she has an obligation to hear the Torah also. He says, and even though a woman, according to the Torah, is not obligated to learn, he says, however, they have an obligation to hear the whole Torah. Just like every 7 years when the Melech, not the king of Israel, gathers all the Jews in the Beit HaMikdash and Chag HaSukkot, and the men, women, and children have to come. The men come to learn, women come to hear, women should come to hear Kriyas HaTorah, to come to hear Kriyas HaTorah also. And what's his proof? His proof is because Gemara Megillah says that really anyone can get an aliyah to the Torah, but a lady should not get because of kavod habriyot. Rabban said it would not be respectful for a lady to get an aliyah to the Torah, but and therefore not supposed to get aliyah. So Magen Avraham says if you think that they could get, even though they don't, so they must be obligated to hear the whole Torah. Why? Because again, I think the idea is because when you hear the whole Torah, you're emphasizing that the whole Torah is important. And man, woman, or children have an obligation always to emphasize that the whole Torah is important. And I just want to finish off one point. And that's why I think the Gemara started off and says, La'ola, no matter where a person finds himself in life, he's just starting off to learn. He has learned his whole life. And he knows so much Torah. La'olam yashlam adam, because every single person has an obligation to show that every letter, every word, every mitzvah of the Torah is important. And not only that, if you do it, you promise long life, and then you'll have more opportunity to show that the Torah is important. And I want to finish off with source number 13. It's actually fascinating that, I always had a very difficult time. I didn't understand. You know, Hasidus, it was only 3 years ago, I really started learning Hasidus, to show that Hasidus is important also. And it's all part of Torah. And if I wouldn't have started learning Hasidus, I would not understand source number 13. But source number 13, as I asked at the beginning, the Gemara said that Yeshua ben Levi told his sons, I want to give you advice. Three things that are important. Number one, I want you to learn the parsha every week, Shnayim Migrei Bechatargum. Number two, when you cut the veins, when you slaughter a bird, make sure that you cut the veins the way where all the blood goes out. Even if for some reason it's still halachically okay without it, make sure you cut the veins in the way where all the blood goes out. And number three, if you know a rabbi, someone, a Talmud Chacham, a scholar, I should say, who was very knowledgeable, and everyone used to go speak to him, but because he suffered a stroke, he had some sort of neurological condition, he forgot his learning, he can't express himself, you have to give him the respect that he always deserved. And what is the connection between all these three halachas, the advice that he gave, they grouped together? And the Chassam Sofer says, in source number 13, he says that a person has to understand that when something is, let's say somewhere, kedusha or tuma, holiness or impurity takes over something, it's very difficult to get it all out. And it's always there on some level. And therefore he says a person has to go ahead and has to learn Shnayim Migrei Bechatargum. Because you might think, what's the point of Targum, of Aramaic? How many people really go ahead and learn Aramaic and understand everything that's going on? He says he has to know that inside Aramaic, since the Torah is given in Aramaic, the Aramaic still has a certain kedusha. And I just want to quote his words. And what does he say? He says like this. He says that Targum, the Aramaic explanation, is klipas noga. Klipas noga. What is klipas noga? I'm not exactly sure myself, but the way I understand it is like this. that in the soul of a person is klipas nogu, which has something good and has something bad, and we have to use it for good, as it explains. So therefore, he says that what happened was that the targum inside the targum, once the luchos were broken, okay, he says once the luchos were broken, so something that you should know that klipas nogu has good. So the klipas nogu is inside the targum luchos, and the klipas nogu is inside the shivri luchos. But even though something happened, that let's say for example the luchos were broken, it lost the kedusha, the kedusha still remains. And therefore, you have to go ahead and you have to keep the broken part of the luchos in the Aron Kodesh, because there's still some kedusha in there. So, and the same thing when it comes to an older person, a scholar, who can't express himself, maybe forgot his learning, he was once very holy, there's certain holiness there. And you have to give him the respect. And he talks about the blood. He says, the blood, and the reason why we as Jews have to go to the blood is because the blood symbolizes certain things that are good. We sprinkle the dam on the altar. Also, the blood was something which was given for paganism. We have to try to get rid of all the blood because there's still something. There's still something bad in the blood. He said, we have to try to get rid of it. Even if halachically, according to law, there's no problem with eating it, try to get as much blood out as possible because there's still something that remains there. And the same thing when it comes to Targum Unkelus. Why should I make up a Targum? You might have learned it. You might have learned the Unkelus, the Targum. You might understand the Aramaic fully. But there's still some Kedushin there that you can get out. And the point of Shnayim Mikra is to learn the whole Torah, review the whole Torah. And all the time, why? Because every time you try to learn every word, every letter of Torah, we at least try. What we're showing you is that every word, every aspect, every Kedusha, every breath of Torah is Kadosh. And that's our job. And that brings Arichut Yom B'Shanim, a long life, and we show that every aspect, every mitzvah of the law is Torah. That's why the title of the shir was Shnayim Mikra V'Chad Targum, placing the crown in the Torah. The way to place the crown in the Torah, the only way, is to show that every letter is important. Every word, every idea, as long as it's true, is important. And a person who by thoughts and feelings, intentions, and action shows that every letter, every word of the Torah is important, he really returns the crown to the Torah.
What about the long makers? Your uncle says of Chamesh Pashot. That's a beautiful paper. Rabbi Sachs is leader in Kabul Conversation. Rabbi Machine's uncle, so Rabbi Machine's leadership. There's also a beautiful way from that. Is that also in
A person can say, let's say like this. I think my grandfather, most of all, they said, there's a concept that says, so what does that mean? Because that means that if I hear somebody tell me something, and in my mind, when he found me a chiddush, I think it's ridiculous that it's different words of the living God. So my grandfather said that up to the time of Rishonim, it's dibur lekim chayim. And therefore, if you know Rishonim is accepted, and he says something, and you don't understand it, you have to explain it. There was once, my father told me the story, that in Balash and Yeshiva, so Rav Chaim, I heard it in Shir, but there was a Rambam. The Rambam said something. And then the Chachmi Lumiel sent him a Shaila. And the Rambam changed his mind. And Rav Chaim gave a Shir, trying to understand the Rambam's first opinion. So in Valojin, they asked Rav Chaim, I understand why you explained the Rambam's first opinion. The Rambam changed his mind. He says, what do you think? He said, if this is Machlokas, the Rambam, the Ramban, and I have to explain the Ramban's opinion. So here is Machlokas, Rambam, and Rambam, two opinions of mine, and I have to explain it. So through time we've shown him, everything is different. And even if you can't learn everything, you can't. So therefore, today anything that a person learns, if it's Torah, he's being mashiv, it's okay. Probably the person says, listen, I'm learning this. I don't have time for this. I can't learn everything. You know, I want to focus on learning Shas. I can't learn right now the Maral, right? Or, the Maral is important, I can't learn now the Beis Yosef. I'm learning something else. That's okay. You can't do everything. The person has to try to understand every word of Torah is important. to see what they can do. In terms of Shnayim Mikra is still a halacha, and therefore a person should try to do every week the parsha, twice and once with Harim. Yeah?
Ten initials do
it from Allah. Ten initials definitely do. We have changed that custom for Ashkenazim.
So does that affect anything?
It could be, it's just right, maybe it does, I'm not exactly sure. There is an opinion that says, we actually hold, I think that you have to read it twice yourself, there is an opinion that feels that if you hear it once, that's good enough. I'm not sure what the payment is. Maybe read along with the payment, then you can go ahead and do it. You listen. I'm not sure. I've only heard. I've never done with him
several times.
Not everyone does, but many do.
Is it Mikra Targum or Mikra Targum Mikra?
In general, I think it's accepted to do Mikra Targum. However, if you go ahead and you look, he says there's some, I think maybe the Chaznish who did Mikra Targum, Mikra, I'm not sure. I think, and then the question, do Pasuk by Pasuk, do Parsha by Parsha, what do you do? I think when it comes to that, right, a person has to do, he knows what's best for him. Someone wants to ask Chaim Kanievsky about learning. He said a person should learn, what he's able to learn. First, to know, you can't superimpose something on somebody. But just because you can't learn something, you shouldn't be mavato, denigrated. That's the most important thing. You shouldn't denigrate. Okay, and like I said, I mentioned at a shir, maybe 2 or 3 months. I forgot about what I said. That I happened to be davening in a Satmar Shubrach once, and I saw a sefer the Satmar Rebbe, and I was waiting for Shnei Esrei to start. They didn't say he's a different hashkafa, and I'm not opening the sefer. I opened the sefer, and I saw a great vort. I got 3 speeches out of it. So I was very happy. Okay, yeah. So that's okay, but the point is that we have to realize every word of Torah is important, and we have to go ahead and that's why, for example, every word of Tanakh is important, and a person should try to learn Tanakh. And again, I'm not here to tell people what they have to learn, Chas v'Shalom, but we have the person has to try to know that his job is to learn as much as possible, and even when he doesn't learn, he has to know is extremely, extremely important. That's the idea. Okay.